Thanks, Chris. If you'd like to take your seats, I'm going to invite Dan up to come and speak to us. We are starting a new series today on Kingdom Power. So Dan's got the job of starting us off on that. And he's going to be talking about miraculous provision. So, and I'm going to pray for you, Dan. If you don't know Dan, how long have you been with us, Dan? 3 years? 4 years?
4 years.
Dan is a part of the Encounter worship team. He gives a really good lead on that once a month, and just a general nice guy, aren't you, Dan? And Dan is passionate about sharing his faith. I love it. He's always got a good story to say about how he just like casually shared his faith with people that he encounters. So if you've not heard any of his stories, grab him after for a coffee. So I'm going to pray for you, Dan. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just pray you will come and rest on Dan now. Thank you for the message that he's already prepared with your help this week. And yeah, we just pray, Father, that you will give us ears and hearts and minds to listen and receive from you through Dan this morning. Bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jay. Kind words from an especially lovely person yourself, so thank you. I'm going to kick us off with a story about George Muller. You may be very familiar with some of the stories from his life already. Obviously, just living up the road in Bristol, he's there's kind of a lot of stories that we might have heard from there, and it's great to go up and see the places where he worked. If you haven't done that, I'd recommend it. This is a story from apparently the 13th of June, 1853. And his orphanage had got to a point where his impressing need of finance, only having about £12, which, whilst more than today in £12 money, it was not a lot. He had a lot to pay for, 10 sacks of flour, workmen to pay, weekly expenses. And on top of it all, the heating had gone bust. Sometimes it all happens at once, doesn't it? And another bill for that. And it was a Monday when he was familiar with not a lot of money arriving at the orphanages on a Monday, apparently. And so back he went to prayer, as he was famous for. Here's his diary entry on the slide. He says, "And thus it was, I received this morning £301 for the Lord's service, as might be most needed. The joy which I had cannot be described. I walked up and down in my room for a long time, tears of joy and gratitude to the Lord raining plentifully over my cheeks, praising and magnifying the Lord for his goodness. And I surrendered myself afresh with all my heart to him for his blessed service. I scarcely ever felt more the kindness of the Lord helping me." Beautiful response, isn't it? And this is what I want to try and dig into a little bit today, getting a sense of like, how does God move, and what does it speak of God? I'm going to look at a few things. Sorry, distracted by the pastries. I'm so hungry this morning. Are there any spare, Mark? That's miraculous provision. It's just like George Muller. You know the story, the baker's breaking down outside his house. There's food for us all. Amen. But is this a freak story of George Muller's? Is it a complete one-off? George Muller certainly seemed pretty excited about it, didn't he, from his response. Had things like this happened before, since? Will they happen again in your life, mine? So I'd like to look at this miraculous provision in the Bible and today, and then how miraculous provision, I would argue, does appear to us through the church and also through God's Holy Spirit. So that's where we're heading. Is that okay? Joe mentioned I'm pretty keen on talking to people about my faith. I would, you know, there's definitely people who I see have got more experience in miraculous provision in their lives. So I don't profess to be a complete expert, but I do have stories, and I'm really aware that you probably do here. And I just invite you, as we begin to look at this together, you know, bring back the memories of your own stories of where you've known God show up in your life. And that can be in all sorts of different ways. It doesn't have to be financial, like the George Muller story. But just let that rise in you and stir your faith as we go through this morning. I'm going to start taking a look back into the Bible and read a verse from 2 Kings. It's the story of the widow and the olive oil. So this is 2 Kings 4. I'm not going to read all these verses, it'll take too long, each of these passages, but I just want to read this one because it's wonderful. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor has come in to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go round and ask all your neighbours for empty jars. Don't ask just for a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. So she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there's not a jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. I just love this story of, you know, kind of someone with nothing, just kind of, you know, not complaining, but just saying how it is and kind of crying out to Elisha as a prophet, you know, sort of representative of God in a way. And this miraculous story of just this tiny little jar of oil, I imagine it to be just small, don't know how big it was, but just keeping on going and going and going. And it's just a beautiful story. I'm going to kind of draw some imagery out of that in a second. There's similarities in John 2 where Jesus turns the water into wine. People aren't even in need there. It sounds like they had quite a lot to drink already at the party. And yet these water jars turn to wine. Miraculous. Again, there's commonality, isn't there, in the sense of provision that we can spot there. Finally, in the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew 14, again, there is a need here. People come to Jesus, well, what even can we do? There's so many people, so little food. And Jesus, you know, again, this miraculous provision from this tiny offering to feed 5,000 people, just enough? No, they had their fill and there were baskets left over. And so we see here in the Bible, God is a God who does provide miraculously. And, you know, it is miraculous, and they're, by definition, I guess, somewhat of a mystery. We can't explain it, replicate it, or reproduce it on demand. But these stories are real and possible. And I think if we have our hearts open even today, we see God moving in similar ways. I've never seen 5,000 people be fed, but although we do have Love to Lunch next week, we'll see how many people we get along there. God sees our need, I think. This is one thing that I see when we read in these passages. God sees our need, or by the wedding story, even when we're not in need, he just kind of blesses us even more than what we do need. But there's something special about God seeing us, I think. You know, why was George Muller so excited? Because it became a story for him, for them at the orphanage. It wasn't just an abstract kind of notion that God is good. God has been good to me. Like, I'm grateful to God. It stirs us, doesn't it? If you've ever had a specific word or received something really personal from God, it's incredibly special. God sees you. My daughter, Phoebe, I just remembered the story. She was being prayed for one time, but by someone who didn't know her, and the lady shared a word, and what she shared was the meaning of Phoebe's name, in roughly in the words that we kind of like to describe. We say she's bright and shining. And this lady said, oh, I just have the words, you're bright and shining. Phoebe looked up, like, I'm known, like, God knows me. And then there was some pictures that were on a table, and she picked up this picture of a yellow pen and says, I really feel God highlighting this picture for you. I think, you know, God thinks you're special. And she said, I love writing, and my favourite colour's yellow. You know, very basic things, but at such a young age, it was so special for her to feel God sees me. And I think there's something in the miraculous provision that God sees me. God sees us as he provides for each other in the various ways. And we'll look at some ways shortly. Another thing about these miracles is that they tell us that God is abundant and generous. It's not just a little amount, but it kind of feels like, you know, the oil's coming and coming, the wine is flowing, the bread and the fish are getting shared around. There's not just enough, but there's enough for leftovers. So we'll look at how that happens in our lives in a second. There's also, I just wanted to point out, sometimes the miraculous provision comes more like, instead of overflowing, it comes like just more like like the manna, you know, the story of manna. Sometimes God just gives us enough for each day, and he sustains us. He sustains us in those times where we're not sure if there's going to be enough, and the next day, oh, enough comes again. And in that way, God provides miraculously too. So to share a few stories from my life, that on the next slide, there's a few ways that I feel that I can share that God has provided for me. I'll try and keep the stories fairly short because I'm known to go on a little bit. Provision of encouragement. I just left home, 18 years old, thought I was big now, and kind of went out into the big wide world, but very soon got fairly lonely. Especially being a complete extrovert, not having friends is particularly painful. And so being out in a new place, and I'd really, yeah, got lonely, feeling a bit disconnected. I guess starting to kind of question and doubt God's purpose in my life, or what am I doing here, and all that kind of thing. And I got a beautiful card, well, the word's beautiful in this card, from a family friend who'd been said in the card, who'd been thinking of me, praying for me, and felt stirred to write these words. And it was a wonderful encouragement of God's purposes in my life, with a reminder of a picture that had come to me during and was shared for me during my baptism. And it was just like a beautiful, you know, you could say, oh, it's just coincidence. Of course, someone's just being kind, sending you a card whilst you're away. Away from home for the first time, but it was the timeliness of it that felt to me like somewhat of a miraculous provision of encouragement. Provision of finance. I was we were just heading off as a family to visit family on a Christmas break one time. You know what it's like when you just load in the car, I feel pretty stressed, and I reversed out, crash, hit the neighbour's car, feeling very frustrated. Then this was Christmas time, as I say, we'd spent all the money on presents. We had a young family, not a well-paid job at the time, and didn't have a lot of money, and we were just really struggling. Like, I confessed to the neighbour that I'd crashed his car. Thought it'd be, honesty is the best policy. And he, you know, swiftly sent me the bill, and I didn't have any money to pay it. We went away, we'd been away for the Christmas break, though, and came back to a couple of checks in the post that exactly matched this bill. You know, it's God's miraculous provision there, that time of finance. Or of opportunity. This was a real blessing, partly because it kind of confirmed something that God was doing in our lives at the time. Kate and I, this was before we had kids, but we were married. We'd come down to Bristol, and we're living in Hannam at the time, and had read a book called Irresistible Revolution. Anyone read that one? Just Matt. It's a good book by a guy called Shane Claiborne, you saw Shane at Satellites this year, no? And yeah, it really got me and Kate questioning about how are we living? What, you know, wanting to search a bit more deeply for living a life that was meaningful, and particularly around how we practically lived, and we wanted to kind of live alongside others and share and you know, kind of encourage one another in some kind of way, but we didn't know how this might be done. But we were just living in this flat in Hannam, feeling like completely, without much community and things. And we just thought, there's got to be something more, but we're not sure what it is. But we know it's not here. So we just handed our notice in this flat, and said, God, would you move? Like, would you do something? and then it ended up through some conversations, through some guys at church. We connected up with some people in Bristol who, with the Woodies community houses. Lots of you might have heard of those. And so within 4 weeks, when we had to move out, we were then had been connected up with a conversation with Greg and Claire, who run this house. And Kate and I moved in as the sort of house parents, as we were called. And that was a wonderful experience of living with, I think it was an 8-bedroom house. We sort of lived there with other Christians, but also had rooms for people who were in sort of short-term or medium-term need. As we moved in, though, we met the person who was moving out, the previous house parent, and we were getting a conversation with her. I think we were sharing lunch, maybe. And that very day that she was moving out was the day that we were moving in. I was like, oh, that's funny that it's overlapped so well. And we told her, oh, it's been brilliant timing for us, because a month ago we kind of handed our notice in our house, and just, you know, this sort of move of faith, as it were. And she said, how weird, what day was that? And we sort of we shared. And it turned out the exact same day she'd written in her diary about the feeling the need to move out. And the crossover of things, the miraculous provision there. Again, it's not finance, but the time and the affirmation of that opportunity that God had given was incredibly encouraging. And again, like this confidence that God sees me, he knows me, and that sort of increased my faith. And then also the generosity of God in that provision is great. So how about you? I've asked you to bring to mind maybe stories for you. God provides miraculously. Allow him to stir your heart again this morning. He does so in different ways, and it continues today. God's generous, abundant, and more than just enough. I do, however, want to share, what does it, just acknowledge this space of like, what about when I don't feel God's enough? You know, I don't want to just preach the positives and not leave space for that. I work with inner city kids in Bristol myself in a very different way to George Muller, but nonetheless, I see some of the pains of that today. I'm all too aware of the reality that many people don't have more than enough. They're going hungry, whether that comes to food or encouragement or hope. And that includes Christians too. And perhaps you have yourself what you physically need, but maybe spiritually feeling pretty dry or thirsty. It's a jarring experience, isn't it, when talking about a God who is generous, abundant, and more than enough, and if you're feeling you're lacking in some way. A little while back, I spent a couple of weeks in Uganda with my eldest daughter, Ella. In fact, the photo on the first slide was the waterfall that we went to see, Murchison Falls, an incredible place. It's a beautiful country in its physical nature and in its people and its welcome. It's really gorgeous. But there's also circumstances that we met there where it's really hard to take things on board. And, I cried to God inside whilst we walked around a sprawling shanty town together with some friends, where we met children dying of disease and hunger. You know, is God more than enough there too? It's hard to reconcile, but I do not want to let this broken world define what is true of God. And we have to hold on to God's promises and his nature alongside seeing this brokenness. I believe this is part of our prayer life as well, as we intercede for these situations, and what drives us to seek justice. So alongside me talking about God's abundance today, I pray that if there's situations that you're in where you're not feeling God is providing in the way that you'd hoped, physically, financially, spiritually, that you would hold hope in your heart this morning that God would be that manna for each day and maybe even become more than enough. He will provide for us in this life, as well as promising the fullness of abundance in a new heaven and new earth to come. So a couple of ways that we experience this abundance of God through the church and the Holy Spirit. So firstly, in the church, in Acts we read another incredibly significant time of abundance when Holy Spirit first came. The disciples were hiding nervously in Jerusalem just after Jesus had died and appeared to them once he's risen, and the Holy Spirit comes and it transforms the way that they are living, and then they kind of form this community, and this is what it says: and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sale, and put it all at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to everyone who had need. Now, this is where it gets kind of to the nitty-gritty of how we're living together, but I think this is God's miraculous provision. It's the work of God that's stirred in people's hearts that's led to an action. So in a way, it's not God directly, but I think this is God's miracle of the way that we are church as a community. I mean, obviously, when I talk about church, I'm talking about people. You know, we can be miraculous provision to one another, and perhaps you've got stories, you know, as you kind of were thinking of your own stories, perhaps some of those stories involved other people's generosity and support of you. It's God working through others. I was part of a church in Bristol around that time of the story I was sharing earlier, actually, and we were a small church, became a house church, and there was this time we were looking at this passage, and we were sat in a circle, because there weren't so many of us, I think about 30, 40 people, something like that, and I felt really kind of stirred for this kind of lifestyle together of sharing, and symbolically I put my wallet in the middle of the circle and said, you know, just to say everything I've got belongs to all of you, kind of thing. It's all that God has given to me, so I offer it out. And before you think, oh, that sounds really holy, it was quite easy for me to do because I didn't have a lot of money at the time, so there wasn't that much to share, even if people wanted it, although they were welcome to it, I meant it. And another guy, early retired, i.e. loaded, also put his wallet in the middle as well, and I thought, I'll clock that. And it was a really good time, jokes aside, and you know, God was moving in us and through the way that we lived together. There was a time, a little while after that, we had young family by this point, and I'd actually got a new job that was paid even less at Thornbury, where I know Julia from, it was just before we moved there, and we were really struggling for money, and I went back to this guy and said, hey, you know, you put your wallet in the middle. And he was really kind to come and have a conversation with us and chat through our finance. He didn't just sort of give us money, but he helped us, and then said, oh yeah, I can see the situation and you're in, I'd like to give you, I think he gave us like £400 a month over a 6-month period or something. It was really generous. You know, I felt that was God's miraculous provision to us, but it's through the church, it's through friendships, and allowing God to stir us and for his generosity, which we benefited so well from. And I've tried to allow that to impact the way that I live. Maybe you're someone who is in a position to bless others as well. I'm sure there are many, many generous people in this church, but are you still open to allowing yourself to be stirred freshly by God, not just the monthly direct debit to charity, not that I'm knocking that and do set one up for 3p, but also allowing God to nudge you about something today or tomorrow, to jump in and act towards a current need. Maybe someone in your house group, or someone that you know that you just kind of meet in your day-to-day life. Let's allow God to stir ourselves towards generosity, that we can be a part of God's miraculous provision to each other. by reflecting this abundant overflow of God. And there is a challenge as well for people to receive that. You know, if you are someone who is in need, it's quite difficult in sort of the British culture, I think, to actually just be open to not being so proud and self-sufficient and actually saying, oh, thanks very much, yes, I would like your cash or whatever it might be. There's a quote from George MacDonald on the next slide, and which I really liked when I came across it and thought fitted in with this. He says, I begin to suspect that the common transactions of life are the most sacred channels for the spread of the heavenly leaven. You know, just the idea that God is in the ordinary, he's in the day-to-day, and let's not miss out on that as we just interact with each other. You know, maybe you'll be sharing lunch with someone next week at the community meal. Will we have your eyes open to just see the way that we can be God's miraculous provision with each other as we chat with friends and meet new people? Okay, and then finally, let's just go on to the next slide and look at the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is Acts 2. Obviously, there's much more to read from this passage, but just this overflow. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the passage there goes on, doesn't it? It's like, oh, and immediately, you know, there's this huddled group in fear, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with courage, boldness, get out and start preaching to everyone, and it just overflows. And you get this real sense that, you know, the more than enoughness of God is really kind of kicking off. And we live in this kind of era now of the Holy Spirit. It's not like previously with Elisha, where he was, you know, just the one person in Israel at the time who had the Spirit of God on him. Now we all get to encounter the Spirit of God. The kind of the birth of the church, really, the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on the church. I think this is what's struck me the most as I've thought about what to share today. My heart really, and those of you who come along to encounter will kind of get a sense of it, is that we live with the Holy Spirit day to day. I love times of worship. It's beautiful to be able to worship together. I love meeting with God in those times, and they can be particularly poignant experiences of Holy Spirit, maybe, for those of us who connect in worship. But this is day-to-dayness, that this becomes part of our ordinary experience. We get to walk around in our everyday kind of normal life with God. Brother Lawrence, you know, practicing the presence of God, and he's got the story of just meeting with God just whilst doing the washing up. Like, if we need to experience, be open to experiencing God in these places, not just in a church service. And kind of having the confidence, I think, to meet with others and talk about the goodness of God with them too. I know as well as you do that it doesn't always feel, you know, we're not always feeling the overflow of God. It's not always the case. Perhaps we've not nurtured our relationship with God, or time has gone by and left us dull, or we get numb through disobedience or allowing sin to fester in some way. But you know, the offer is there of God's Holy Spirit, and I just encourage us all to kind of come again and rekindle that fire with our relationship with God. There's a quote by Tozer that I'd like to share. I might read it a couple of times because I absolutely love this. The church has tragically neglected this great liberating truth that there is now for the child of God a full and wonderful and completely satisfying anointing with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel with the total plan of God for his people. Come on. Let's just let that, you know, kind of challenge you and stir you. Maybe just some of the stories that you've carried over the many years, let that just freshen up again. I'll just read it one more time. The church has tragically neglected this great liberating truth that there is now for the child of God a full and wonderful and completely satisfying anointing with the Holy Spirit. May that be true this morning. The Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. So, what are the challenges for us here? Do you need to stoke the fire of your relationship with God again? Do we need to increase our dependence on God, as George Muller did? And I encourage us, let us be miraculous provision to each other as the church, to those around us, in our own lives, in our communities, in our nation, and beyond in mission. Let's reflect God's overflow and abundance, and to be more of enough as church together. Let us acknowledge again our dependency on God, on his Holy Spirit in us and through us. Let's give time to encouraging another. Perhaps even, you know, looking out. Matt's email recently talked about looking out for the younger generation and maybe getting involved in mentoring. Let's, you know, use your experience to encourage one another. Let's share with Christian friends or house groups to spur one another on to greater confidence in sharing about the goodness of God with our family, friends and colleagues. We're filled to overflowing, but in my experience, we need to kind of keep giving out to keep fresh, not let it stagnate. So I just want to pray to finish. And if that's struck a chord with you, maybe just, you know, kind of really open your heart to God as we pray, and may you receive God again in a fresh way this morning. Father God, we thank you that you are abundant and generous and more than enough. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would kind of sink that truth into our hearts this morning. For this moment, may your Holy Spirit be on us and remind us of your goodness and the times that you have provided for us. For those who are very much feeling in need today and feeling dry or in pain in various ways, I pray that you would be their daily bread, that you would meet them today and tomorrow, the day after, to sustain them. And God, as we go from here into our normal weeks, may it be no less real that you are with us and that you're able to provide miraculously to us through your Holy Spirit and through each other. In Jesus' name.